Now let's get back to 14 things to happen in prophecy to watch for as we come toward the end time. And the reason that we cover a lot of these things and look at them is because we're watching them develop. Now, number 6 was the fall of the modern descendants of Israel. Okay? Number 7, we covered some of it in some of these news reports. The kings of the north and the east. Kings of the north and the east. Now, we find the beginning of this in Daniel, the 11th chapter. So let's turn there, Daniel, the 11th chapter. Now, let's talk about Europe, too. Because in order for the king of the north to develop, there has to be a transformation take place in Europe. Now, we have a pattern of this with the rise of Hitler. Europe was in great depression. Germany was completely impotent. And that gave rise to Hitler. Now, European-wise, well, we see something the same thing. Plus, you've got in Europe, you have all the Muslims. Something has to happen to them. Otherwise, they take over all of Europe and Europe becomes non-existent. So something is going to have to happen there. But nevertheless, it will happen. And one of the 10 heads of the beast in Revelation 13 will become the king of the north. Now let's come down here to Daniel 11 and verse 44. Once he comes down, conquers Egypt, goes into the Holy Land, and then we'll cover one of the next ones, which will be the abomination of desolation. Okay. Then here's what's going to happen. Verse 44. But tidings out of the east. Now, does this not make much more sense today than 40 years ago? Yes, indeed. China is threatening 6 different areas where they are on a war footing, trying out their power that they have now, and the reports are, and I've seen them, that, as I've mentioned, they're building these express rails. What do they call that? The bullet trains? Bullet trains. 2 lines going west into Russia and then into southern Europe. Kazakhstan is trying to build a big gas line going west. Now, if they get it to Syria, that's going to put a lot of pressure on the Gulf states and their economies. And we don't know what's going to happen with the Gulf states and Iran with the nuclear problem that is there today. Now, let me ring a bell. My opinion is that since Netanyahu has been strapped down by the Obama administration, the Jews are not sitting there weeping, crying, and twiddling their thumbs and wringing their hands. I believe, this is my opinion, if I were them, I would get all of my computer experts and technology, and they have some of the best in the world, and I would suspect that there may be a nuclear underground accident in 1 or 2 of the processing centers that the Iranians have. Another thing that the Israelis are doing, they are training their pilots for all of Iran, the whole Middle East, and the eastern part of the Mediterranean Sea. They used to have their pilots fly the planes, but now they actually have the simulator planes, and they have the full view of the entire geographical area where they are flying, wherever it is. They know all the details of Iran, of Iraq, of Saudi Arabia, of Egypt, of Turkey, of Syria. They know everything where it is. So, keep your eye on that too. All right. They shall alarm him out of the north and the east. And of course, Russia and China are allied more than ever before. Then he will go forth with great fury to destroy and to utterly annihilate many. Now let's come to Revelation, the 8th chapter, and see the fulfillment. Revelation 8, okay? Now let's back up just a little bit here. Let's get a time frame so we know what we're talking about. We know the tribulation is going to be 3.5 years. The first part of the tribulation is going to come against the modern nations of United States and Britain. Okay? Now then, we also know from Hosea 5:31, Hosea 6:1-3, that God is going to leave Israel alone until they return to God. And the prophecy there in Hosea 6 is this: After two days, he will revive us, and in the third day, we will be made to stand up. Each day is a year in prophecy. So at the beginning of the third year of the tribulation, that's when we have the sign of the Son of Man, the opening of the heavens, and the sealing of the 144,000 and great innumerable multitude. Okay. After that, there's a period of time. And I don't know how many of you have been watching the events going on in the Philippines with this great cyclone that went through there. Now, let's just do a little comparing. Here's the earth. Christ makes himself known, ripping open the heavens and rolling them back like a scroll. He shakes the heavens, he shakes the earth, he shakes the sea and everything. Now this is going to make most of the world look like what happened in the Philippines. So I was watching this very carefully, and it took them 2 weeks to get the roads open. So when this happens, and if this happens on Pentecost, which it probably does, then, which we find in Revelation 7, then we come to chapter 8. And chapter 8 probably begins on trumpets because the first of the trumpet plagues is blown. Okay? So that gives a 3.5 month period for the world to get things reorganized so they can start fighting each other again. And I think that makes more sense when you put it all together. Okay? So let's pick it up here, Revelation chapter 8. Now when he opened the seventh seal, and out of the seventh seal comes what? The seven trumpet plagues. There was silence in heaven for the space of a half hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar, and much incense was given to him so that he might offer it with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar that is before the throne. So this shows no one has gone to heaven. Everyone is on the earth praying. That is the saints. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings and an earthquake. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpet plagues prepared themselves to sound their trumpets. Now, just like the seals, The first four come, 1, 2, 3, 4, right after another. Likewise with the trumpet plagues, they come, 1, 2, 3, 4. So the first one sounded his, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood cast to the earth. A third part of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded his trumpet, and there was cast into the sea, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures that were in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and there fell out of heaven a great star, burning like a lamp, and it fell upon a third of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. Now the name of the star was Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from drinking the waters because they were made bitter. Then the third angel sounded his trumpet, and a third part of the sun was smitten, a third part of the moon, a third part of the stars, so that a third part of them were darkened, and a third part of the day did not shine, likewise a third part of the night. Now, this answers the question. Why did Jesus say that no man knows the day or the hour? Because the earth, the moon, relationship with the sun, has been changed. So therefore, you really don't know what day it really is. Though this may happen on trumpets, you don't know how long it is until the next trumpets or the next Pentecost when the resurrection occurs. The earth may be moved out of its orbit enough so it could be a day or two or three difference from the calculated Hebrew calendar that is in effect at the present time. So no man knows the day or the hour. That's why we can know some of the times and seasons based on the holy days, but not the day or the hour, because of these astronomical events that are taking place. All right? Verse 13, and I looked and I heard an angel flying in the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth because of the voices of the remaining trumpets of the three angels who are about to sound their trumpets. Now we have a real phenomenon taking place. Now, Satan the devil pulls out all stops. Now he has permission to do something that he has wanted to do for a long time. Now, what is that? Remember in 2 Peter, Peter writes that God cast the angels that sinned into Tartarus. Now, Tartarus is the Greek word for a place of restraint or prison. Satan has wanted to get them out of there so he will have more power. So it's going to happen beginning in Revelation 9. And this is what is going to empower the kings of the north, actually the beast power, retaliating to the north and to the east, and then will empower greatly the kings of the east. So let's read it, Revelation 9. So as we look today and see China rising and see India rising, Vietnam, Malaysia, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Pakistan, Iran, all of those nations coming up, they are going to be involved in this great, fantastic fight that's going to take place. Revelation 9 and verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from heaven to the earth. Now remember, stars are angels. And there was given to him, so this shows that it is an angel, the key to the bottomless abyss. That's where all the demons are held in captivity. And he opened the bottomless abyss, and there went up smoke from the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke from the pit. Then locusts came up on the earth from the smoke. These are picturing the demons coming out. And power was given them, as scorpions of the earth have power. And it was said to them that they should not damage the green grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree. Why does it say that? Because remember, a third of the grass, all the green grass was burned up, okay? A third of the trees were burned up. So this shows a period of time. So we're coming from Pentecost on down to trumpets and a little bit past. Now, what happens when there's a great fire? Well, as soon as there's any kind of moisture, what happens? Boop. Grass grows. Doesn't matter what the event was, it grows. So here the grass grew back. And they needed the grass to help the oxygen supply in the world. Or any green thing, or any tree, because the trees were also reviving. But only the men who do not have the seal of God in their forehead, showing that those who have the seal of God or the Holy Spirit of God have not yet been resurrected. They're still on the earth. Now remember before this, there was a great number that were martyred in the fifth seal in chapter 7. Then we have the 144,000 and great innumerable multitude, and they were sealed, correct? So it's talking about all these people here. And it was given them that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months for their torment. Was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. Now, I don't know how that is. I don't like scorpions. And the worst thing in the world that I've seen on television, where it is Andrew Zimmer and Bizarre Foods, people eat roasted scorpions. Now, I don't know how they do that. I guess very carefully. Okay. I don't know what it's like to be stung with a scorpion. I'm not going to try and test it out either. And in those days, men will seek death. So here's what's going to happen. The king of the north is going to come down, take over where the king of the south is. He's going to hear of all the troubles and difficulties in the north and in the east. And here is going to come this great demonic super weapon to immobilize them for 5 months. They will seek death. And the appearance of the locusts were like horses prepared for war. On their heads were crowns like those of gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. And they had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like those of lions. And they had breastplates of iron, breastplates, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots drawing many horses and running to war. Now, this sounds an awful lot like many of the planes and helicopters that are available today that we know of, which could not be known then. Now, what I want you to do is this. Can you imagine, right after John had written this vision, and it was sent out to the churches, and they were reading this. This is astonishing, because they had no concept of everything being worldwide. We have that concept today because we know it, it's real. And this is why, at first, half of the churches did not accept the book of Revelation. And this is why the Vaticanus New Testament does not have the book of Revelation in it. And remember, the Vaticanus came from Egypt. And remember, trust nothing from Egypt at any time. Currently, if you watch the History Channel, they're playing all the Gnostic Gospels, all worked out in episodes, especially the one concerning Mary Magdalene, who is supposed to be the wife of Jesus Christ. And Thomas was supposed to have written that Mary Magdalene kissed Jesus very lovingly. And this is where they get the Templars and the Holy Grail, because Jesus was supposed to have had children with Mary Magdalene. Now, if you were asked to disprove that from the Bible, how would you do it? It can be done. Why don't you take on that for just a minute? That's correct. Okay? Little sidebar. Correct answer. Thank you. Which is this. The one who became Jesus Christ was the Lord God of the Old Testament. We find in Ezekiel 16 that God was married to her. We find in Isaiah 58 that he says, I am your husband. What are the terms of marriage? Until death do you part. Now, this was a covenant. And that's why Jesus had to die. And so the answer comes out in Romans 7 that Christ died to complete the covenant with Israel so he would be free so that the New Testament church could marry him. Because God will not commit adultery spiritually, even with the relationship with Israel and the children of Israel. Even though he gave Israel a divorce, sent her away, he did not remarry. Okay? All right. Now, back here to Revelation, the 9th chapter. Let's pick it up here, verse 10. And they had tails like scorpions and stingers, and they were given power to injure men with their tails for 5 months. And they had over them a king, the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and his name in Greek is Apollyon. That is Satan the devil. All right. The first woe is past. Now then, let's see the prophecy of the greatest army in the history of the world. It's actually called armies, because you cannot have one army with this many in it. There are armies, 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 and you can't have them all at one place at one time either. Okay? Verse 12. First woe is past, behold, after these things, two more woes are still to come. And the sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. And he said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, loose the four angels that are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, how's that for a place of a prison, huh? So they're loosed. And the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, and the month, and the year. So God alone knows this. Were loosed so that they might kill a third of men. And the number of the armies, plural, of the horsemen was 200,000, 200 million. And I heard the number of them. Now then, think about what China is going to have to become. Now they have a population of about 1,800,000,000 at the present time. A full third of the peasants are still working on the farms as they used to. They have built many cities to move them out of the farming area and into these cities. They have built 70 cities, each of them able to hold 3 to 5 million people, and they are sitting there empty. Now, they're going to have to rise to such a great economic power, the greatest that has ever been in the history of the world. And it's going to be awesome when it does. And they are going to use their power virtually any way they want to. So it's going to be quite a thing when that takes place. 200 million. Now let's continue. And so I saw the horses in vision and those sitting on them. And they had fiery breastplates, even like jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were like heads of lions. And smoke and brimstone shot out of their mouths. And by these, a third of men were killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone that shot out of their mouths. Now, I want you to think of the great, terrible devastations that this is going to bring on the whole world. Because when we are resurrected, and then we come back to the earth to rule with Christ, we are going to inherit a great, gigantic catastrophe. And God is going to use us to straighten it out. That's why it's very important that we understand that God has called us to this, and that we rise above what most religions do, and that is play church, so that we can yield to God, let His Holy Spirit lead us, guide us, cleanse us, perfect us, give us the mind of Christ, and through the washing of the water of the Word, have our minds cleansed daily. Think of all the images that we have coming into our mind. Just when you sit down and you watch the news, never before has people been submitted to that kind of thing. And remember, all of these things go into your mind, even if it's just a flash of something. So this is why we need to pray every day, Lord, cleanse my mind with the washing of the water, of the Word. These are big time things that are going to happen. And this is what God has called us to. Now let's continue on here. For their power is in their mouths, for their tails are like serpents and have heads, and with them they inflict wounds. Now we know that these are men. They might have demonic power, absolutely for sure. They might have technological things that we have talked about, like extra strength as men, so because of the apparatuses that they're able to devise. But nevertheless, they are still men against men, regardless of the weaponry that they have. Now notice verse 20. But the rest of the men who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the works of their hands. So all the way through, God demands repentance, that they might not worship demons and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which do not have power to see, nor to hear, nor to walk. And they did not repent of their murders. So these are men. Nor their sorceries, nor of their fornications. nor of their thieveries. All right, we'll continue a little more. Number 8, the temple in Jerusalem must be built. Now, first of all, let's see about the canonization of the New Testament. Let's come here to Matthew 24, okay? Matthew 24. And let's see what this tells us. Now, the key to understanding Matthew 24 at the end time is this. Verse 33. Matthew 24 and verse 33. Now, many of these things happened with the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, destruction of the temple. But not all these things took place. We're going to see one very profound one here in just a minute. Now, verse 33. In like manner also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. And the key is all these things. What was missing in 70 AD? There was the temple. It was destroyed. But what was missing? All right, let's read it. Let's come back there to verse 15. Verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation that was spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. Now, notice the next statement in parentheses. Now, I don't have a red-letter Bible, so if you have an old King James red-letter Bible, look up this verse. And this statement, which I'll read that is in parentheses, should not be in red. The one who reads, let him understand. Now, this was Jesus speaking verbally to his disciples. He did not say that statement. But why did God have that put in there? Why did God have that put in there? Because the abomination that makes desolate did not happen with the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. Now, let's combine that with something else. Let's combine that with Revelation, the 11th chapter. Now, the Apostle John, when he wrote the book of Revelation, he was getting close to 100 years old. He, and probably Philip and Matthew, helped him in canonizing the New Testament. They all knew that the temple was destroyed in 70 A.D. Now, let's read here. Revelation 11, beginning in verse 1. If it was destroyed and this vision was given approximately 25 to 28 years later, this presents a problem in understanding Matthew 24 without that parenthetical statement. And here's why. Verse 1. Then the angel gave me a measuring rod like a staff, saying, arise and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it. This was envisioned. This is for the end time because toward the end of the chapter, that's when the two witnesses are resurrected. So, John could see from this that the temple had to be rebuilt. Okay? Now let's continue here. Verse 2, but leave out the court that is within the temple area and do not measure it, because it has been given up to the Gentiles, and they shall trample upon the holy city for 42 months. Okay? Now then, let's come to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, because John and Philip and Andrew canonized and finalized the New Testament, of which 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, was part of it. Now, what is interesting is this. The first epistle that Paul wrote was the 1 Thessalonians, which was in, I believe, 53 or 54 A.D., maybe a little sooner. Chronology's in the back. You can read it. 2 Thessalonians was shortly after that. So now let's read chapter 2. And let's see how Paul was given the key on what is the desolation, the abomination of desolation that stands in the holy place. Now, a little sidebar. What Antiochus Epiphanes did when he offered swine's on the altar and sprinkled swine's blood all around, that was not the abomination that makes desolate as referred to in the New Testament. They recovered from that. And the temple was reconstituted and came down to the time of Herod the Great, when he was then wanting to make the temple more glorified. And that's the temple that was in existence when Christ was on the earth. Now then, that was destroyed, but notice this prophecy. Now we beseech you, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and are gathering together to him. Now that's the resurrection. That you be not quickly shaken in mind nor troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by epistle, as if from us, saying that the day of Christ is present. Do not let anyone deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come unless the apostasy shall come first. Now this is complete apostasy by the whole world from God. And we are rapidly approaching that. The apostasy after the canonizing of the New Testament has no bearing on this prophecy, because there was no temple desolated at that time. Now, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, the one who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is an object of worship, so that he comes into the temple of God and sits down as God, proclaiming that he himself is God. That did not happen in 70 AD. The closest that this came was after Titus had conquered Jerusalem, finally had conquered the temple area. He came up into the area of Fort Antonio and stood up on the wall and looked down on the temple area. And his words were, we could not have accomplished this without the help of God. Remember? Nebuchadnezzar, God called my servant. Titus was God's servant in destroying Jerusalem then. But the temple was destroyed. He did not go stand in it. Okay? And he did not want it burned. But all of the soldiers saw all of the gold. And they put it on fire so they could get the gold. And what happened? All the gold melted. The rocks expanded and cracked open. And guess where the gold went? Down in the cracks. Now you know, if you want gold and you see it, you are going to move heaven and earth to get it, right? That's how there was not one stone left standing upon another stone. Okay? Now, let's read the rest of this. So he comes into the temple of God and sits down as God, proclaiming that he himself is God. Now, John and Philip and Andrew knew that that did not happen. That's why that statement is in parentheses in Matthew 24 and in Mark 13. The one who reads, let him understand. Because if Jesus were talking, which he wasn't, this was inspired insertion by God, so that we are alert that what happened in prophecy here in 2 Thessalonians, as described by Paul, had not yet occurred. And this is for the future time. Okay? So there has to be a temple rebuilt. And that's why you've heard me say, how many times? Go online and look up Temple Institute. And you'll see that they have so many things all ready to go. And you can rest assured of one thing. The Jews will never sign any peace treaty with anyone unless they have absolute guarantee they can build their temple, and that guarantee is protected militarily. So that will be coming. Now notice, verse 5, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you understand what is holding him back in order for him to be revealed in his own set time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already working. What did Jesus say about lawlessness at the end time? It will be multiplied. Only there is one who is restraining at the present time until it arises out of the midst. And when you read Revelation 13, where does the beast rise from? The sea. One of the horns, which we'll cover next time, claims that it is God. All right, verse 8. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and will destroy with the brightness of his coming. That shows there must be a temple at the time that Jesus returns. That's why the statement in Matthew 24 is in parentheses and also in Mark 13. Even the one whose coming is according to the inner working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and those who are perishing because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Well, we'll go ahead and end it here, and so we'll pick it up at this place next time. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.